Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:01 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time, and today is March 14th. And today, what we are beginning to see is at least some weakness on stock markets. There are a number of events that are going to happen on the political front and on the monetary front this week, but perhaps the market that really stands out for its performance is India, and it's coming fresh off of Modi's rather impressive performance in the Uttar Pradesh election, and now the Nifty is has broken impressively above the 9,000 level. That's a possibility we've been highlighting in the audio for the last couple of weeks, and it is a rather impressive advance. When we look at that on the weekly chart, we can see that the market has been ranging for just about 2 years, and now it is breaking on the upside, and assuming that it can hold that breakout, and most particularly during any pullback, find support in the region of the trend mean, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And in like manner, while the index has broken out, it is also that the rupee has strengthened really quite considerably. And that is something that really does stand out. What we've been highlighting now for quite some time is that the rupee has been holding in the region of its lows for the last year. It did not move to a new low over that time period, and now it has rallied to break the progression of lower rally highs, and here is the dollar in fact breaking down against the rupee. This is a really an impressive move. This is something that really we should be paying attention to, and it is something that we haven't seen in quite a considerable period of time. You can look back at, it was 2014 was the last time that we saw the rupee trading above the trend mean for any kind of considerable period, and this is an emphatic breakdown now by the dollar, and it would suggest that it is a green light for foreign investors to get interested in India once more. And let me see if I can remember. Yes, the government bond yield. Indian government bonds yield almost 7%, and those are local currency bonds, which is not a particularly appetizing prospect when you have a currency that is depreciating. But if you've got an appreciating currency and you've got a yield advantage, then they become really quite desirable. So then it is rather interesting that yields have been rising for the year so far. They're now in the region of the trend mean, and it is a question of whether this commonality that Indian bonds have had with the rest of the world is going to be broken, because there is a significant difference for India relative to just about everywhere else. It was also a positive day today in China, and the A-share index extended its advance above the 10,000 level, not in a dynamic manner, but it has broken that short-term progression of lower rally highs, and it does confirm both support in the region of the trend mean, the psychological 10,000 on the upper side of the underlying range. But it is within the context of a market that has been largely range-bound in a very broad congestion area between about 8 and 14,000 since 2009, and it is just rallying from the lower side of that range. Interestingly, it is being led higher by the automotive sector, and Great Wall Motors has doubled in the last year, and it's up about 30% so far this year, and it bears a really quite a striking resemblance, at least in terms of the shape of the pattern, to the H-share index. But it is obviously coming off much more depressed levels, having fallen from like 20 to 5, and now is, I think, back towards 10. When we return to what some of the other issues that are outstanding, the oil market is additionally worthy of consideration here. We have had a pretty impressive decline, and it is now testing that $50 area. $50 is obviously a psychological big round number, and it is still now in the region of the trend mean. This is a potential area of support. It is natural that we get at least pause in this area, but the much broader question is whether, in the context of any short-term unwinding of some short positions or short covering, is there any real prospect that we're going to see prices pushing back up into the overhead range? And this big downward dynamic that we've had, it's much more likely that it represents confirmation that there is ample supply that is economic just below $60. There have been news stories about efforts underway to increase the production coming out of Alaska. That Alaskan production has been falling, and there have been some really quite considerable oil discoveries on the north face in about 150 miles from Prudhoe Bay. So it isn't that we have a shortage of oil, rather the opposite, that there is ample supply. There has been a decade-long process of investing in additional supply, and that has succeeded in producing. Now, the bigger question is whether the demand cycle is going to pick up, and whether we're going to see additional demand coming in to soak up that supply. And I think the answer to that question is probably eventually, but perhaps not right now. There is still ample supply. There hasn't been enough of supply taken out of the market because the economics of unconventional oil and gas are really quite different from conventional production, and also it is much easier to tailor that production because of the requirement for drilling. And that would suggest that we are going to be in a volatile trading environment for oil for the considerable medium term. And if prices can be contained below $60, that represents the removal of a headwind in terms of economic growth. When we look at Wall Street, and Wall Street is most certainly the leading index, then we are in the process of an unwinding of the short-term overbought condition. This has been really quite an impressive advance, really since June, and it has been in the context of range and advance, and each one of those advances, once you've had the breakout, has been about 100 points, and we've just had one of those. If the rhythm of this market is going to persist, then it is due a consolidation, and if our experience in the context of the trend over the last year is anything to go by, then we could be trading below 2400 for the next couple of months, and then we break out. A pullback in consolidation would unwind some of the short-term overbought condition and the overextension relative to the trend mean, and that would allow demand to reassert on the upside. We are also at a rather pivotal period in government bond markets. The yield is right at the 2.6% level, and it was down a little bit in here today. It is testing the upper side of what is a 3-month range, but we are at a rather pivotal levels, because and here is when the news items that are due this week really do come into focus. The Fed is going to have their rate decision tomorrow, and a rate hike has already been priced in, so it isn't really going to be a surprise if they hike by 25 basis points, but rather people will be looking for what are they going to attach to that statement. Are they going to say that they are going to embark on a more aggressive pace of rate hikes, and that would mean faster than an additional 2 hikes this year? Or are they going to play wait and see? This has been the biggest pullback in government bond prices that we've seen since 2013, and that was in the context of the taper tantrum. Prices right now are testing their lows. They've encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. They've pulled back. They are a little bit oversold in the very short term, but that is rather to miss the point. That yes, there is potential that we get a rally, and not least because we could have a sell the rumor, buy the news reaction to the Fed's decision. But in the broad context of the trend, then a sustained move above 126 would be the minimum requirement to question the medium-term bearish hypothesis. There is an enormous amount of money invested in treasuries and in bonds generally. And if we are moving into an inflationary cycle, and sometimes you do really have to take the much bigger picture. And I remember speaking with someone who owns a lighting company, that he was having these cast iron lamps manufactured in China at the lowest possible price. He was very close to the manufacturers, and he had contracts with lamps, etc. And he was shipping container loads. It was three and four containers, four times a year, to warehouses, so drop shipping. And he was the lowest price producer, and shipping that kind of container, where each container the gross value was in the region of $50,000 worth of inventory, he was picking up less than $1,500, and he was getting pressure because prices were rising at the on one side, but he wasn't able to charge more on the other. And that is not a sustainable business model. And if the people that are the intermediary between the market and the producer have been squeezed to that kind of extent, and it is not an isolated instance. I've talked to other people that own businesses that are importing jeans and garments, that what we've seen over the last couple of decades has been that margins have been squeezed and squeezed and squeezed, so that a lot of the incumbent companies are simply selling up and moving on. Well, the answer to that is that prices have to rise, because eventually you will get to a point where suppliers can no longer cut. And we may be on the cusp of that. Producer prices in China are rising, and that has a knock-on effect. There is the real possibility that we are moving into an inflationary cycle, and that, I think, is something that has not been really priced in to any great extent. When we return to, and if we are thinking about inflation, then gold prices do best when interest rates are lagging inflationary measures, and that is not the case right now. And gold was down $5 today, and it is trading just below $1,200. It really does need a clear upward dynamic to confirm that demand is returning to dominance in here. When we look at some of the other stock markets, then Japan was down a little bit in here today, but not in a dynamic fashion, whereas the second section was up in a dynamic manner, and it is accelerating, and it is closing in rather rapidly now on that 6,000 level, and I think it would be natural that we get at least some pause in the region of the big round number. We certainly had a pause at 5,500, and in 2015 there was a pause around the 5,000. It found support around 4,000, so when we have ample evidence of the market pausing in the region of big round numbers. And when we look at Europe, and we're going to have the Dutch election this week, Europe was pretty much it was pretty quiet in here today, and the Dutch index was a little bit weaker, but we can see that it has rallied rather impressively over the last few weeks. It is now testing the highs seen in 2015, and perhaps there is some an argument for at least some consolidation in the current area. When we have, there is a great deal of uncertainty. We just do not know what the removal of quantitative easing is likely, what kind of effect that is likely to have. We do know that the market has been going up for 8 years already, and that is a pretty long expansion in the context of a medium-term bull. I continue to believe that we are perhaps approaching the end of the beginning of what is a secular bull market, and therefore there is no evidence that it is over just yet. We will know what the evidence looks like when it appears, and that the next recession, which may not occur for at least another 18 months, and then it may be even longer than that, is probably something that will offer a very attractive entry opportunity from the perspective of long-term investors. But we will have trend-ending characteristics well before that. So I think that this is still an environment which is demand-dominated, and it remains a bull market environment. I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.